The next category of alternative investments is private equity. The majority of private equity funds are leveraged buyout funds, which invest either in private companies or public companies they intend to take private, or venture capital funds, which invest in early-stage companies. Two additional but smaller categories of private equity funds are distressed investment funds and developmental capital funds. A private equity fund may also charge fees for arranging buyouts, fees for a deal that does not happen, or fees for handling asset divestitures after a buyout. Leveraged buyouts, or LBOs, are the most common type of private equity fund investment. Leveraged refers to the fact that the fund's purchase of the portfolio company is funded primarily by debt. This may be bank debt, high-yield bonds, or mezzanine financing. Mezzanine financing refers to debt or preferred shares that are subordinate to the high-yield bonds issued and carry warrants or conversion features that give investors participation in equity value increases. Two types of LBOs are management buyouts, in which the existing management team is involved in the purchase, and management buy-ins, in which an external management team will replace the existing management team. In an LBO, the private equity firm seeks to increase the value of the firm through some combination of new management, management incentives, restructuring, cost reduction, or revenue enhancement. Firms with high cash flows are attractive LBO candidates because their cash flow can be used to service and eventually pay down the debt taken on for acquisition. Venture capital funds invest in companies in the early stages of their development. The investment often is in the form of equity, but can be in convertible preferred shares or convertible debt. While the risk of startup companies is often great, returns on successful companies can be very high. This is often the case when a company has grown to the point where it is sold to the public through an initial public offering. The companies in which a venture capital fund is invested are referred to as its portfolio companies. Venture capital fund managers are closely involved in the development of portfolio companies, often sitting on their boards or filling key management roles. Categorization of venture capital investments is based on the company's stage of development. The formative stage refers to investments made during a firm's earliest period and comprises three distinct phases. Angel investing refers to investments made very early in a firm's life, often the idea stage, and the investment funds are used for business plans and assessing market potential. The funding source is usually individuals rather than venture capital funds. The seed stage refers to investments made for product development, marketing, and market research. This is typically the stage during which venture capital funds make initial investments through ordinary or convertible preferred shares. Early stage refers to investments made to fund initial commercial production and sales. Later stage investments refers to the stage of development where a company already has production and sales and is operating as a commercial entity. Investment funds provided at this stage are typically used for expansion of production or increasing sales through an expanded marketing campaign. Mezzanine stage financing refers to capital provided to prepare the firm for an initial public offering. The term refers to the timing of the financing between private company and public company rather than the type of financing. Developmental capital or minority equity investing refers to the provision of capital for business growth or restructuring. The firms financed may be public or private. In the case of public companies, such financing is referred to as private investment in public equities. Distressed investing involves buying debt of mature companies that are potentially or currently in default or in bankruptcy proceedings. Investors in distressed debt often take an active role in the turnaround by working with management on reorganization or to determine the direction the company should take. Distressed debt investors are sometimes referred to as vulture investors. Note that although distressed debt investing is included in the private equity category, some hedge funds invest in the debt of financially distressed companies as well. Similar to hedge funds, private equity funds are typically structured as limited partnerships. Committed capital is the amount of capital provided to the fund by investors. The committed capital amount is typically not all invested immediately, but is drawn down as securities are identified and added to the portfolio. Committed capital is usually drawn down over 3 to 5 years, but the drawdown period is at the discretion of the fund manager. Management fees are typically 1 to 3% of committed capital, rather than invested capital. Incentive fees for private equity funds are typically 20% of profits, but these fees are not earned until after the fund has returned investors' initial capital. It is possible that incentive fees paid over time may exceed 20% of the profits realized when all portfolio companies have been liquidated. This situation arises when returns on portfolio companies are high early and decline later. A clawback provision requires the manager to return any periodic incentive fees to investors that would result in investors receiving less than 80% of the profits generated by portfolio investments as a whole. The average holding period for companies in private equity portfolios is 5 years. There are several primary methods of exiting an investment in a portfolio company. Trade sale. Sell a portfolio company to a competitor or another strategic buyer. Initial public offering. Sell all or some shares of a portfolio company to the public. Recapitalization. The company issues debt to fund a dividend distribution to equity holders, which is to say, the private equity fund. This is not an exit, in that the fund still controls the company, but is often a step toward an exit. Secondary sale. Sell a portfolio company to another private equity firm or a group of investors. Write-off or liquidation. Reassess and adjust to take losses from an unsuccessful outcome. There is evidence that over the last 20 years, returns on private equity funds have been higher on average than overall stock returns. Less than perfect correlation of private equity returns with traditional investment returns suggests that there may be portfolio diversification benefits from including private equity in portfolios. The standard deviation of private equity returns has been higher than the standard deviation of equity index returns, suggesting greater risk. As with hedge fund returns data, private equity returns data may suffer from survivorship bias and backfill bias, both of which lead to overstated returns. Because portfolio companies are revalued infrequently, reported standard deviations of returns and correlations of returns with equity returns may both be biased downward. Evidence suggests that choosing skilled fund managers is important. Differences between the returns of top quartile funds and bottom quartile funds are significant, and performance rank shows persistence over time. Because of the high leverage typically used for private equity funds, investors should consider how interest rates and the availability of capital may affect any required refinancing of portfolio company debt. The choice of manager or general partner is quite important, and many of the factors we listed for hedge fund due diligence also apply to private equity fund investments. Specifically, the operating and financial experience of the manager, the valuation methods used, the incentive fee structures and drawdown procedures are all important areas to investigate prior to investing. The third category of alternative investments is real estate. Investment in real estate can provide income in the form of rents as well as the potential for capital gains. Real estate, as an asset class, can provide diversification benefits to an investor's portfolio and a potential inflation hedge, because rents and real estate values tend to increase with inflation. real estate investments can be differentiated according to their underlying assets. Assets included under the heading of real estate investments include residential property, commercial property, and loans with residential or commercial property as collateral. Residential property is considered a direct investment in real estate. Some buyers pay cash, but most take on a mortgage to purchase. The lender or issuer of the mortgage has a direct investment in a whole loan and is said to hold the mortgage. Issuers often sell the mortgages they originate, and the mortgages are then pooled as publicly traded mortgage-backed securities, which represent an indirect investment in the mortgage loan pool. Property purchased with a mortgage is referred to as a leveraged investment, and the owner's equity is the property value minus the outstanding loan amount. Changes in property value over time, therefore, affect the property owner's equity in the property. Commercial real estate properties generate income from rents. Homes purchased for rental income are considered investment in commercial property. Large properties, such as an office building, are a form of direct investment for institutions or wealthy individuals, either purchased for cash or leveraged with a mortgage loan. Long time horizons, illiquidity, the large size of investment needed, and the complexity of the investments make commercial real estate inappropriate for many investors. Commercial real estate properties can also be held by a limited partnership in which the partners have limited liability and the general partner manages the investment and the properties, or by a real estate investment trust. As with residential mortgages, commercial mortgages are considered a direct investment, but loans can be pooled into commercial mortgage-backed securities that represent an indirect investment. Real estate investment trusts, or REITs, issue shares that trade publicly like shares of stock. REITs are often identified by the type of real estate assets they hold: mortgages, hotel properties, malls, office buildings, or other commercial property. Income is used to pay dividends. Typically, 90% of income must be distributed to shareholders to avoid taxes on this income that would have to be paid by the REIT before distribution to shareholders. Two additional assets considered as real estate are timberland and farmland, for which one component of returns comes from the sales of timber or agricultural products. Timberland returns also include price changes on timberland, which depend on expectations of lumber prices in the future and how much timber has been harvested. Farmland returns are based on land price changes, changes in farm commodity prices, and the quality and quantity of the crops produced. Real estate performance is measured by three different types of indices: an appraisal index, such as those prepared by the National Council of Real Estate Investment Fiduciaries, is based on periodic estimates of property values. Appraisal index returns are smoother than those based on actual sales and have the lowest standard deviation of returns of the various index methods. A repeat sales index is based on price changes for properties that have sold multiple times. The sample of properties sold and thus included in the index is not necessarily random and may not be representative of the broad spectrum of properties available, an example of sample selection bias. REIT indices are based on the actual trading prices of REIT shares, similar to equity indices. Historically, REIT index returns and global equity returns have had a relatively strong correlation because business cycles affect REITs and global equities similarly. The correlation between global bond returns and REIT returns has been very low historically. In either case, diversification benefits can result from including real estate in an investor's portfolio. However, the methods of index construction may be a factor in the low reported correlations, in which case actual diversification benefits may be less than expected. Property values fluctuate because of global and national economic factors, local market conditions, and interest rate levels. Other specific risks include variation in the abilities of managers to select and manage properties and changes in regulations. Decisions regarding selecting, financing, and managing real estate properties directly affect performance. The degree of leverage used in a real estate investment is important because leverage amplifies losses as well as gains. Distressed properties investing has additional risk factors compared to investing in properties with sound financials and stable operating histories. Real estate development has additional risk factors, including regulatory issues such as zoning, permitting, and environmental considerations or remediation, and economic changes and financial decisions over the development period. The possible inability to get long-term financing at the appropriate time for properties initially developed with short-term financing presents an additional risk.